Happy Easter, friends.
My name's Tom. I'm the pastor here at Sycamore Creek, and today we're starting this series called Playlist. Do you know that music not only touches the heart, but sometimes it shoots right through the heart to the soul? There are times where I'm listening to music in the car or in my earbuds, and all of a sudden, it's not like it's the song is being sung by the musician there. It's like God is singing the song to me. I remember back when I was in college, I was going through this period of faith crisis, and I wasn't sure that I believed anything that I'd been taught growing up. And I heard the song by Fleetwood Mac called Landslide. You're familiar with that song? And it was like the song began to sing the internal state of my soul. Everything that I had built my life around for 19, 20, 21 years was coming crashing down around me. And in those moments, this song spoke to me, and God spoke to me through this song. Now, fast forward maybe a decade or so, and I remember sitting in a big, huge church down in Dayton, Ohio, called Ginghamsburg, and the band began to play Foreigner, I Want to Know What Love Is. Feel free to sing along. Now, behind the stage on this church was a huge screen. It took up the entire back of the stage, and on that screen were showing scenes from the civil rights movement. Protesters and demonstrators being attacked by dogs, being billy clubbed by police, being shot with hoses. And in that moment, it was like God said to me, I want you to show them what love is like. And that was a sense of call to racial reconciliation in that moment. Now, fast forward to just a couple of years ago, and I remember sitting in my car when I first heard the song by Eminem and Rihanna, Monster. And it was like, all of a sudden, Eminem is singing, I need an interventionist to intervene for this monster that's inside of me. Do you have a monster in you? I have a monster in me. Most of the time it stays inside of me, but occasionally it comes out. And it was like God was saying, listen, this monster's inside of you. This monster's in all of us. And you need me to intervene in your life for that monster. God speaking to me through Eminem. Now, on a little more grace-filled note, do you know the song All of Me by John Legend? Man, it's a great love song, isn't it? And I remember listening to this song, and all of a sudden something shifted in my spirit, and it wasn't me singing about my wife, but it was God singing to me, saying, I love all of you, all your edges, all your perfect imperfections. I give all of myself to you. And then it was like it became a duet, and I started to sing back to God. You've given me everything, and I want to give it back to you as well. Do you have those moments where music shoots through your heart, into your spirit, and into your soul? Or maybe you're thinking this morning, Tom, you need to go see your therapist and have your meds checked. Which may be true as well. But you know what? I actually think that what's happening in those moments is very similar to the way that Jesus interacted with the world. You see, Jesus walked around, and he would see things in the world, and he would pull spiritual truth out of them by telling stories called parables. One of the parables, for example, is the parable of the sower. Perhaps one day he's walking along, he sees a farmer who's sowing seed, throwing some over here, and it falls on rocky soil, and some on the path that's hard packed, and then some in fertile soil. And he looks to his disciples and he says, God's grace is like that. God's grace falls in some people's heart and finds that it's rocky. And it falls in some people's lives and finds that situations have packed it down so hard that it can't find any root. But for some of us, in the right moment, God's grace falls and finds fertile soil. And it takes root. And it gets watered. And it grows and it bears a harvest of fruit beyond anything that you could imagine. Jesus says, what's the state of your heart? You see, Jesus just looked around him and he pulled spiritual truth out of the world that was around him. We're going to do the same thing over the next 4 weeks, but we're going to do it with music. We're going to take a look at a different song, songs that you listen to in your car, songs that you listen to on iTunes, songs that you listen to on Spotify, and we're going to pull the spiritual truth out of those songs. Speaking of Spotify, I've created a playlist that I'm going to share with you. There's the HTML you can find for that, or the address, and it's listed in your program notes as well. These are songs that over the years have spoken to me, sometimes on the negative side of things, sometimes on the positive. They're songs I've used in messages, and just a warning, your pastor doesn't listen to all clean music. Life is not always clean. It's messy. But you might not want to be listening to it in your car with your little kids, because Eminem's going to pop on. But maybe through this series, you want to create a list as well and share it with me on social media of the songs that have meant something to you. Next week, I think, is probably my favorite in this series. We're going to look at Alessia Cara's song, Scars to Your Beautiful. Such an important message out of that for a world where the images of beauty are photoshopped and there's no way that any of us can live up to them. So make sure you come back next week as we pull the spiritual truth out of that song. Today's sermon, today's teaching, today's song, though, is dedicated to those of you today who feel like giving up. Who feel like there's some area in your life, some good area that is hanging on by a thread. If you are here today, of course, is Easter Sunday, and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. You're supposed to be happy and joyful, right? But some of you aren't at resurrection in your life. You're back on Good Friday, where Jesus was crucified. Your life is pinned to a cross, and you're not sure you're going to make it out of it alive. It's not the Easter resurrected Jesus for you today. It's pain, it's suffering, it's struggle, it's trial. Today's message is dedicated to those who feel like giving up. What we're going to find today is a basic truth that some of the greatest blessings are on the other side of not giving up. Some of the greatest blessings are on the other side of not giving up. 22, 23 years ago, I met my wife Sarah at college, I was 19, I think. Was I 19? You were 21, something like that. I was a sophomore. She was a senior, and I was like, man, I am going after the big fish in the pond. And I was so attracted to her. She was like the smartest person, and she was so good looking, it was like magnets, you know that feeling, like when like all the emotions in you are lined up and you're just attracted to that person. But then all of a sudden it hit me at some point. I met her in her last semester of her senior year. That meant we had four months to make something of this relationship. And I began to think, what, are we going to get married or something? I mean, this is only 4 months we've got here. And so, you know, when you switch magnets and, you know, it attracts, but then you switch to the other side and it pushes away. And I began to push away a little bit. And she could tell, you know, women can tell when you switch the magnets on them. She could tell. And one morning, I was walking late to class, which is kind of unusual. I'm a morning person. I'm not usually late for things, but that morning I was late for class. Maybe the Spirit of God made me sleep in a little bit or something. And I bumped into Sarah as she was walking to the cafeteria to have breakfast. Now, I wasn't planning on going to breakfast that day, but as we walked along, she brought up this you know, polarity shift that had happened, and she said, I'm mad at you. I'm not one to skip classes either, but on that day I decided to skip my class and I went to breakfast with Sarah. And 21 years later this May, on the other side of not giving up has been some of the greatest blessings of my life. Now, we might not be here today either if I had given up in year two of being the pastor of this church. You know, it's not a very fun place to follow the founding pastor of a church. You know, that it's year two is the chew Tom up year. I went to a conference one time for second pastors, and I asked them, what's the greatest talent that a second pastor needs? And they said, thick skin. And in year two, most of my skin was gone. I usually have pretty thick skin, but I sat in my district superintendent's office for my yearly evaluation that year, and I was crying in his office. And I said, if things don't turn around next year, it might be time. I don't know that I got anything else to give this church. Do you know what happened in year three? We started church in a diner, and then we started church in a pub. And this past Thursday, we were church in a laundromat. And Friday night, we were church at Harrison Roadhouse. And on Saturday, we were church at Sanctuary Spirits. And this morning, we're church here in South Lansing and church in Potterville. And tomorrow night, we'll be church at a pub at Buddy's in Holt. All of that because sometimes the greatest blessing is on the other side of not giving up. Not giving up. Now, whenever you're trying to not give up, you're going to have an enemy. And sometimes that enemy is the evil side of creation. Sometimes it's just yourself. You can come up with a million reasons, right, to quit. Your enemy is going to give you a million reasons to quit on whatever matters most. He's going to give you a million reasons to quit on that good thing. To quit on someone. A marriage that's hanging on by a thread, to quit on a friend, to quit on a child that doesn't seem to be growing up, to quit on a job or a dream or a vision for a business or college or education or to quit even perhaps today on church or on God himself. Or maybe you're at that place this morning where you're just ready to quit on life. Quit on life. Your enemy will give you a million reasons to quit, but I want you to know today you only need one good reason to stay the course. One good reason. I'm going to invite Pam and Katie to come up. They're going to sing our song for today. Remember, this message today is dedicated to everybody who is struggling, everybody who feels like giving up. They're going to sing Lady Gaga's A Million Reasons. But before they do that, Katie has had a million reasons to give up on all kinds of things, and she's going to share a little of her story.
Hi, everybody. Obviously, I'm Katie. So in February of 2017, I was told that I was dying at the hands of a so far nameless condition that was causing my autonomic nervous system to shut down. And if you're not medically versed, the autonomic nervous system is the one that controls things like, you know, breathing, heart rate, digestion, things that you typically want functioning properly in your body. You know, little problematic. Between that and a myriad of other conditions that had already made me feel like I didn't have a reason to live, I attempted suicide twice. Now, obviously, I failed both times, and I count those blessings every single day because I wouldn't have met any of you. I wouldn't be here today. However, this past Friday, March 23rd, I was told that I have less than 2 years left at my current rate of progression and that they plan on admitting me to U of M for about a week for observation. And the desire to give up right now is pretty strong. I've got a million reasons to quit. And I decided to pick one new reason every day to keep going. Some days it's as big as God or my church family. Sometimes it's something as intimate as my wife's smile or a night spent laughing with my family on the couch. Sometimes it's my parents or my sister's encouragement. Sometimes it's as small as my cat or my favorite food. It can be as trivial as you can think it is, but a reason is a reason no matter what. So I hope as you listen to this song, which I prayed lines of before I even knew it existed, that I hope you think of your reasons to keep going and let them empower you and strengthen you against whatever million reasons you have to give up.
You've given me a million reasons to let you go. You've given me a million reasons to quit the show. You've given me a million reasons. Give me a million reasons. Given me a million reasons. About a million reasons. If I had a highway, I would run for the hills. If you could find a dry way, I'd forever be still. But you've given me a million reasons. Give me a million reasons. Given me a million reasons. About a million reasons.
I bow down to pray. Try to make the worst seem better. Lord, show me the way. Cut through all this worn out leather. I've got 100 million reasons to walk away. But baby, I just need one good one to stay.
Head stuck in a cycle, I look off and I stare. It's like that I stop breathing but completely aware. Cause you're giving me a million reasons. Give me a million reasons. Giving me a million reasons. About a million reasons. And if you say something that you might even mean, it's hard to even fathom which part I should believe. Cause you're giving me a million reasons. Give me a million reasons. Giving me a million reasons. About a million reasons. I bow down to pray. Try to make the worst seem better. Lord, show me the way to cut through all this worn out leather. I've got 100 million reasons to walk away. But baby, I just need one good one to stay.
The night before Jesus went to be crucified, he was perhaps in a similar situation that Katie has been in the past, with a million reasons to give up, a million reasons to not go through with the whole cross thing. We read in the Bible that Jesus is thinking to himself and saying, "Now my soul is deeply troubled." That's an understatement. He's sweating tears of blood. He thinks to himself, should I pray, Father, save me from this hour? Is there another way? Can I go some other way? You see, Jesus knew what was coming, the cross. This was a regular form of capital punishment in the Roman Empire. He knew that he would be beaten beyond recognition. He knew that they would smash a crown of thorns on him. He knew that he would be put naked on this cross. Stakes would be nailed through his hands and feet. He knew he would be mocked. He knew that God would be mocked. He knew that he was unjustly accused and convicted. He knew probably the worst of all was that he would feel forsaken by God. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet, as he's wondering if there's some other way, he says to himself, this is the very reason I came. It's amazing what you can endure when you have one good reason. It's amazing what you can endure when you have one good reason. What was the reason that Jesus came? It wasn't for the high and mighty. It wasn't for the hallowed church member. It wasn't for the holier than thou, the have it all togethers. It was for those who are sinners, who are sick, who are shamed, or who are stuck. That's the very reason that Jesus came. It's amazing what you can do when you have one good reason. Today, if you're here and you ever felt ashamed or dirty or stuck, or you've ever felt unworthy, unloved, or unlovable, Jesus came for you. Jesus came for you. When everything in him wanted to walk away, when there were 100 million reasons to not go through with this whole death on the cross thing, Jesus had one good reason. You. Maybe today you're working 2 or 3 jobs to pay off being buried in debt. But you do it to get to the debt free. Maybe today you are paying for your spouse's college. You do it for the payoff at the end. Maybe today you are struggling with cancer and you're taking meds that kill your body to save your body. It's amazing what you can endure with one good reason. Or maybe today you're pregnant. You're like, man, this is a trial that I didn't ever know. You do it to hang on to that baby at the end of the process. It's amazing what you can endure with one good reason. Some of the greatest blessings are on the other side of not giving up. Today, there's probably somebody out there who's hanging on to something by a thread. You're thinking, how am I going to go one more day in this marriage? How am I going to hang on to my kid one more time? How am I going to keep building this business when one obstacle after another after another? Come on, God. I prayed to you. And all I got was a closed, silent, shut door. Or maybe worse, God did talk to you, and you didn't like the answer that you got. Somebody today is hanging on by one thread. And what do you do in that moment when you've got a million reasons to quit? I think one of the things you do is you look to Jesus. The author of the book of Hebrews in the Bible says, we run with endurance by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. What was the joy? You are the joy. You are the joy. You are the joy. And then there's the payoff. The author of Hebrews goes on, he says, now Jesus is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. It's almost as if Lady Gaga was reading the book of Hebrews. She says, I bow down to pray. I try to make the worst seem better. Lord, show me the way to cut through all this worn out leather. I got 100 million reasons to walk away, but baby, I just need one good one to stay. Lady Gaga says, one good one. Jesus needed one good reason. You are the reason. Jesus needed the joy. You are the joy. One day Jesus is walking along, and maybe he sees a shepherd who's got a flock of sheep over here, and there's 100 sheep that's supposed to be there, but that morning the shepherd counted the sheep, and there were only 99. One of them was lost, and Jesus says that the shepherd went out to find the one lost sheep, left the 99 safe in the pen to go find the one. You are the one. You are the one. I never forget the night. It was late at night. I think it was in the wintertime when my family and I, we were sitting in our living room doing something, and the doorbell rang. I wasn't expecting any doorbell to ring that late at night on a cold evening. And I went to the door, and there was one of my neighbors. And he said, "Have you seen this little girl in our neighborhood? She's lost. Her parents can't find her. She's maybe 6 or 7 years old." And we said, "No, I haven't seen her." And I look out the door, and there's all of my neighbors out in the street with their flashlights. And so I grabbed my flashlight, and I went out into the streets. And it was like some scene from the X-Files. I mean, there were like 75 neighbors all out with their flashlights searching for this one little lost girl. And I walked over to the ponds in our neighborhood, and I prayed as I walked over, "Lord, don't let me find her in the ponds. Don't let me find her in the ponds." And I got over to those ponds, and I shone my flashlight around, and all the neighbors were shining their flashlights, and the Lord answered that prayer that night. She wasn't in the ponds, and like a rolling thunder that came through the neighborhood, there were so many people out looking for this little girl. You could hear in the distance, "We found her. We found her. We found her. We found her." And the whole neighborhood in the middle of the night erupted into joy that we had found her. I don't know where we found her, but we found her. And the important part was that night she was in her living room with her family. I left my family, who is safe and sound in the living room, to go find the one who was lost. You are the one. You are the reason. You are the joy set before Jesus. And if you are enough for Jesus, then Jesus is enough for you. If you are enough of a reason for Jesus, then Jesus is enough of a reason for you. Of course, today is Easter, but we had to go through Good Friday before we got to Easter, right? Friday night, the dream is dead. Have you ever had one of those moments where you thought where your life was going, it's over? It got nailed to a cross. It's gone. You know what it's like the next morning? You wake up. What's that feeling in your stomach? Saturday morning. There's a pit in your stomach. It's twisted. Saturday night, your life is over. Everything is gone. But Sunday morning, some women go to the tomb. They go down to Mount Hope Cemetery. And they go to the mausoleum. And they're there to prepare Jesus' body, to wrap it up so that they can bury it in a proper burial. And when they get there, they find that the door has been busted off the hinges of the mausoleum. And they wonder, has Jesus' body been stolen? And when they look in the tomb, they see he's not there. And an angel shows up and says, he has risen. And as they're walking through the cemetery, there's Jesus. And they fall down at his feet. And they worship him. The dream that they thought was dead on Friday is now alive and walking. It is amazing what a couple of days can do, how the entire world can change in just a couple of days when God is involved. It's amazing how the entire world can change in just a couple of days when God is involved. It is amazing how the entire world can change in just a couple of days when God is involved. Sometimes the greatest blessings are on the other side of not giving up. When everything else says give up, said give up, Jesus endured. He endured because of the joy set before him, because of the very reason. You are the reason. You are the joy. As the band comes forward this morning, they're going to sing a song that I invite you to use as a prayer. Whatever it is that you find yourself struggling with today, whatever it is that you're hanging on to by a thread, the story, the message of Easter is that God's love is greater than whatever it is that's causing, whatever it is that's given you a million reasons to give up. That God's love in Jesus Christ died on a cross on Friday and resurrected on Sunday. That the greatest blessings are often after not giving up. I invite you to remain seated in your seats and sing along this song as a prayer. Let us remember, let us know the power of Jesus, the resurrected power of Jesus in my heart, in our heart today. I was enough for you. You are enough for me. In the name of Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, and all who agreed said, Amen. Amen.